How you doing? Are you guys ready to feel the love?
Never been more ready.
From you any day.
Yeah. Welcome back to episode 25 of Winning Hand, the podcast about Marvel Champions, one card at a time. I'm your host, Boom Guy, and I'm joined today by my trusty co-hosts, Lazy Titan.
How's it going?
And Keiko.
The true host.
We are doing something different on Winning Hand this month. We are generally a bi-weekly podcast, and we post every other Tuesday. But for this month, in February, we are going to post every week. So that's four episodes this month. And we are creating a new theme that we are calling Love Month. So what is Love Month, I can hear you asking? Well, that's a great question. We are going to deep dive into team-up cards this month. We're going to be talking about four specific cards because that's what our podcast does, one card every episode. Each of the cards that we're talking about this month is a team-up card that's specifically related to a romantic relationship in the game, in the MCU, in the comics. So today's card is about Scott Lang and Nadia Van Dyne. It is, of course, Swarm Tactics. We're going to be kind of deep diving and discussing team-up cards more broadly and then focusing on one each time. So I think this is going to be pretty cool. Are you guys excited?
I can't wait.
Always excited.
Yes. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. So before we start, I have a quiz for the two of you. How many team-up cards would you say currently exist as of this episode in February of 2024? How many total team-up cards are there? Give me a guess, each of you.
Okay, let me think here.
So there's Miles and Gwen.
I'm gonna tell you anyway.
Cyclops.
It's not that deep. I'm gonna say 12.
It's funny because like every X-Men so far has a team up card, has a romantic. Mm. So I'm gonna take that into account. I'm gonna go with 10.
Okay, you guys are both pretty close. There are currently 13 team up cards.
13.
There are 13. I wish it was 14 because, you know, the 14th is Valentine's Day. That would really just be appropriate.
Is there one coming out in the Heroes? Like that release between now and then?
In the Age of Apocalypse?
Yeah.
I don't know if they teased one. I don't remember seeing one in Age of Apocalypse.
I don't really know anything about Bishop or Magic.
I don't know. I didn't remember seeing one, but there might well be. I think every X-Men had one and a couple of the X-Force had them too. So most of them have two copies. There are only 1, 2, 3, 4 of them that only have one copy each, but most of them have two copies. So before we get into the card of the day, we're going to have a short discussion about team-up cards generally introduced in this month. Then we're going to talk about a quick discussion about the current team-up cards, and then we're going to jump all the way into the card of the day with our favorite form-changing heroes. How do you guys feel about team-up cards generally? How often do we use them? Do we like them? Are any of them staples in certain decks? Which heroes benefit from them? You know, are they better in multiplayer or solo, et cetera, et cetera? What do you guys think?
I think I generally like the team-up card idea. I think my only problem with them is that you have to have the other character, and it feels kind of unreliable to have an ally out there all the time. So it's hard to do in solo. But it also sometimes is difficult because then you have to play a certain pair of heroes. But I guess that's kind of the point. But I think some of them aren't as cool. Some of them aren't as interesting. I think overall they're fun.
I definitely think some are better than others.
For sure.
I think it's interesting that they are all basic. So they can be used really in any deck. I guess that's appropriate. None of them are signature cards.
Which I like.
Yeah, it's probably good. I don't know. I think they definitely have more potential in multiplayer than in solo. In solo, you really either you're playing two-handed or you have to guarantee that you're going to get out that ally that you need. So multiplayer, there's just more opportunities. If there's another hero out there, it means they're always out there when you draw into that card. Otherwise, like you said, there's kind of a lot of setup involved. But you know, if I'm playing Ant-Man and you're playing Wasp, then I know whenever I draw into it, I'll be able to use it.
Which is fun.
Keiko, what do you think?
Kind of both in that, yeah. Like, I like the idea of it, the dynamic of it. It's cool to have that camaraderie between different heroes or different heroes and allies. But yeah, some of them don't really have that punch to them that make it worth playing or spending after getting through whatever those restrictions are, like finding two people that play the separate heroes or finding that ally, which is one of my bigger problems with playing solo, especially when some of these are like max one per deck. But even then, you probably wouldn't want to add more than one anyway. It's hard to say.
Are any of them staples? Like, are any of them ones that you use every time you play a hero?
Rocket and Groot.
Why?
Because it gives growth counters. So it's hard. That's a hard thing to do. So I think giving growth counters to Groot is very useful.
Yeah.
Rocket, the Rocket side of the card doesn't really matter, but the Groot part does. Another one of my complaints with these is that a lot of them don't really help that much, or some of them don't. Like, a lot of them ready your hero, which isn't that good for most heroes. I feel like they could have come up with something better there.
And that's kind of that like punch, that lack of punch that I was talking about, is because some of these you can already play as separate events. They might cost like one extra, but you have more of a guarantee of it. Because I've never played any team-up cards. And that's not to say that I haven't put in any team-up cards. Daughters of Thanos comes to mind.
That one's great. That was the best.
That's a good one.
Young Love with Miles and Gwen. It's just I've never had those stars align. I've never played with anybody that would play the other hero. I could never either play or find the other ally. But that's just my luck of the draw, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, like, you really have to thread the needle to get them to work, right? The one that I have used pretty consistently is Two Against the World, the Iron Man War Machine one, because it does help you search out some tech upgrades. And I think more for War Machine than for Iron Man, you really need to find those. So that's one that I have used fairly often in a deck with War Machine. But I just think that so many of them, it's like you have to get everything just right. And it's hard to make sure that you get it, like you were saying, Keiko. Like, there's just times when you draw into it and maybe the ally's not out yet. And so then it's just, then you pitch it for a resource, and then your next hand you might draw to the ally and you won't see that card for however many hands. And then by the time it comes back again, the ally still might not be there and it just becomes like a dead card in your deck.
Yeah, they have a chance to not do anything unless you're playing the two heroes.
Yeah.
Which is part of my difficulty with it, is that you can't play them. They're most really useful when you're playing with another person, which is fun. Then you can build like team up decks, but it limits your ability to use them often because they are cool and I like them.
I do like the limitation of it. Like, you need those two heroes in some form, but again, just the payoff you get from it for some of them or most of them is like, you don't get that satisfaction from it. Or maybe you just don't even play it at all. You're like, this is even worth trying to get the setup and then playing this card.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool idea. And every time I see a new team up card, I think it's cool. But I often find them a little underwhelming when I'm actually playing them.
Yeah. And some of them are very specific too. Like, some of them do very specific things and some of them are just like generically good cards. Like, some cards are just like Daughters of Thanos, or just draw three cards. Good card.
That's an insane card.
And then some of them are like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witches, which is like a treachery cancel, plus it does something else. Some of them are hard to use.
Yeah, the one that comes with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, I agree. It's an interrupt, essentially a defense card, right? When a treachery card is revealed in the encounter deck, you cancel the when revealed effects and then deal 2 damage.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have it in your hand at just the right time, which means in addition to having both of those characters in play, you then have to also have a win revealed treachery.
Yeah.
Like, it just, there's so much that has to happen for some of them to work. So we're going to talk, kind of the next discussion we're going to have is going to be about the team of cards that currently exist and kind of things we would do to change them. But anything else you guys want to talk about in terms of these cards? Like, which heroes do you think benefit the most from these?
I guess it's a little harder for me to say because I haven't really played all the heroes. I did mention Daughters of Thanos before. That's a Nebula Gamora team up.
Yeah.
We've mentioned before on this podcast that probably the strongest move you can make is drawing cards. Yeah. And that lets you draw up to 3.
It's just 3 cards.
So good. Do you put that in a lot of decks? Because I know you play a lot of Nebula.
That's the thing. I do put it in every Nebula deck, but nobody really plays Gamora ever. I don't think I've ever played with anybody that has played Gamora with me. And getting a Gamora ally out there, because Nebula's whole thing is maintaining, having her own upgrades out there and replenishing them every turn. So it was hard for me to get those stars to align. But it is in every Nebula deck that I have.
I think the team-up cards, I feel like looking over the ones that I can, or like thinking of the ones that I can, I feel like most of them are for combinations of heroes that aren't super powerful, which is both good because it gives some extra power to those heroes that are maybe lower power, but also it means that you have to play like kind of not so good heroes to get the effects, which means they're going to feel even like less useful because you're already at a disadvantage. Like there's no Ironheart and Nova team up card, which there probably doesn't need to be, but
I mean, Cable and Deadpool have one and they're both pretty crazy.
Oh, I have not played Deadpool, so I don't know.
Me neither.
Me either, but yeah, I think they're kind of some interesting choices they've made with the characters they've created team up cards for, and you know, we're going to dig into some of this in future episodes, but I just wanted to kind of talk briefly here about, you know, how, what we think about them. I think I don't end up using them a ton. I feel like there's an occasional deck I'll put them in, but some of them, quite honestly, the payoff for the cards isn't great. Like they're not that strong.
No.
But even the ones that are strong, there's so many things you have to hit to get them, and you can only have one copy in your deck. It's just a difficult thing to really build around, or not even build around, but just to make it work. So let's kind of transition then to the next thing I want to ask you guys. How would we change the team up cards that currently exist? And I'll just start. For me, I think I would make them all cheaper. There's a lot of setup required. There's only one that can go into a deck. They're very like niche, you know, you have to have these both characters in play and then you have to have the right situation for it. So I think if you can get all that to hit, they should feel like amazing. You know, when you play a team up card, it should just feel like I finally got it. I got the combo to work and bang, here they are. Team up cards are hard to search out. There are maybe some ways to search them out, but basically you can't go find them. You just have to draw into them. You should, when you get one in your hand, you should be like, oh man. So I would say then as a rule, this might sound crazy, they should be zero cost. Team up cards should be zero cost.
I disagree.
Now, if we need to tweak the power a little bit, we could, because I think, for example, the two against the world, the War Machine and Iron Man card for zero cost would be insane. So maybe tweak the power a little bit, but like that card, for example, costs three. So to have everything go right and then still have to pay three to play it, it's good, but it just doesn't feel as amazing as it should for everything you have to do for it. You disagree?
I think the only problem with that is what we mentioned earlier, is that you can just play another hero. So they're balanced so that you have to find an ally, but also they have to remember that anytime I can just get a buddy and play Iron Man and War Machine, and then we can play that card. And then if it's free, like we just get a free insane card because you can just play the other hero. If you were going to make them like really, really powerful and then cheap also, I think you would have to make a rule that team up means you have to control both characters. So you have to have both characters, then you can play it rather than being able to have your other players do it, because then it breaks the balancing too fast.
And for the team up cards, so when you play it, you are the only one that benefits from that action, right? So maybe there's two different versions of said abilities. One way it plays out if you own both characters, right, as hero ally, and another way it plays out if two people are playing those two heroes.
Yeah, I like that.
I think they do kind of benefit both, some of them at least. Like I think the Rocket and Groot one readies Rocket and Groot, and I think the Iron Man War Machine one for sure readies both of them. So if they're both heroes are in play and you play it, then you would both ready, for example.
The Rocket one does either or, which I kind of like, actually.
Oh, you choose one in that one?
You either put two growth counters on Groot,
oh, yeah,
or
yeah,
you ready all of Rocket's weapons or something.
Which is strange that not all of them speak to each other. You know, like thinking of the Daughters of Thanos, maybe if it's you own both, then you draw three cards. If someone else is Gamora, someone else is Nebula, then it's like maybe then you both draw two cards. You know, some kind of scaling,
yeah,
but something that speaks with both characters in said team up.
Yeah, like I like that. If you own both, you draw three. Or you could just say, like, you know, whoever controls Nebula draws two cards, whoever controls Gamora draws two cards. If you happen to control both, I guess you get four cards.
Four
good for
cards,
you,
which is pretty good.
I mean, it's insane, but like I agree with you that it scales somehow.
And maybe make team up a trait and then play with that somehow just to make it a grander thing, because again, my thing is that it just has that lack of punch to it. You don't really feel satisfied playing it, all things considered, after the setup.
Yeah.
After you check all the boxes, and it's like, this is what I get. I could just play any other event, essentially, to get what I wanted.
I mean, I think this is a perfect opportunity to use the alliance keyword in a really cool way.
Yeah.
Like, alliance is a keyword that has, I don't know, it kind of falls flat. I know there are some people who really like the alliance cards. I think they're really hit or miss, and mostly miss for me. But team up cards are a perfect place to use alliance. Like, if you have both the heroes in play, you know, you can each pay for it. It benefits both of you. That's really cool. And I'm surprised they haven't done that, actually.
Yeah, I think the alliance, I think that's a big way to use those. I think that's a excellent way to use that keyword, which doesn't really get used much. And we've talked about before how it's kind of weak. And I think maybe we run into that problem then, was that alliance cards always kind of suck because they have to be costed so insanely. But I like using it for at least some of them. Or you could do an idea I've had, which is like team up cards, but not just for two people. So having like team up cards, like an Avengers card, and then you have Alliance, and then any Avenger can pay for it. And then it does something crazy for Avengers or Guardians or whatever.
I like that idea. So you could have like an X-Force team up card, and then whoever controls an X-Force character
can pay for it.
It wouldn't even have to be a hero.
Yep.
Could help pay for
it. And then would get the benefits. And then anyone who pays, maybe anyone who pays for it gets a benefit.
I like that.
No, I like the idea that it wouldn't just be hero specific. It would be like, you know, Avengers and X-Force team up card. And it would be like, well, if you control an Avenger and an X-Force character, then you can play this card and it does something crazy for both. That's a cool idea.
And it would even out the limitations versus the payoff. It would make it a little better to play, to kind of line up.
Yeah. Yeah, a little easier to make work, right? Because if it's just Avengers and X-Force, to take that example, it's easier than Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yeah. But it also takes out the like specific duo part of it, where like you feel like, oh, we're playing these two characters, they have like a special move. It just makes it more generic. But I think that's good and bad.
That's true.
And I think in that sense, maybe then the team up cards kind of play more specifically into what those two characters are or what they do, because the actions or the abilities you get from any of the team up cards kind of seem just generic. Maybe in some form it kind of plays thematically, Iron Man and War Machine playing with tech, but it's so general. Yeah. And so I don't know, maybe if it just played more into each of the characters, what they did, what their gimmicks are.
I really think that some of them work that way. Like, for example, Rocket and Groot, like Lazy Titan mentioned. I think that one works really well. It does specifically growth counters or counters on weapons.
Yeah, it adds charge counters to weapons.
And the one we're talking about today is about form changing. I think the Nebula and Gamora one, while really strong, is very bland. Like, draw three cards.
Yeah, it's very generic. Yeah.
It's like, okay, that has nothing to do with Nebula. Like, it should be go find a technique or resolve a technique in play, right, for Nebula.
Or an event, like events and techniques.
Or an event, like, yeah, it should be something like, you know, go search out a technique if you're Nebula, if you're Gamora, go find an event or something like that.
Because you can use both heroes and allies for this, it makes these cards really hard to make, because if it says, go find a resolve a technique, find an event, put it in your hand. If you're playing just Gamora and you have the Nebula ally, it just gets an event. Like, it doesn't do the other half of the card.
That's true.
So they have to be both specific enough to help both heroes, but generic enough that you could only help one hero. Which is where I think they need to change what team up means and mean that you have to control both characters. That way you can get way more creative with that.
Yeah, either specify that you need both characters or what, or you just have separate abilities depending on the circumstances on the board.
Yeah.
That's not bad. But like, how would it work then? Like, if it's not necessarily heroes, if it's only people you control?
Well, you would just have to have the ally and then you would get some crazy benefit. Oh, no, it doesn't work there either. No, it doesn't work either.
And I guess, oh, that does bring up a complication that it depends on which hero you're controlling at the time, yeah, too.
You end up with the same problem.
So they're basically...
Yeah, the same problem, I think.
Basically be three different abilities then, depending on what the circumstances are.
These cards might just be hard to make.
I think so. Because there's a clear power scaling that they did during development because they had to account for hero ally versus hero. So they didn't want to make it too strong. They didn't want to make it too costly. But then the pendulum kind of swings to the other side where it's too weak or too cheap or however.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think they created these with heroes in mind. I think they created the team-up cards with two heroes in mind.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Thinking that they could be used with allies, but that they were more likely to be used with heroes. The one we're talking about today is pretty clear. It just deals with heroes.
Yeah, but you could play this as solo.
You for sure could, and they work that way.
And I think this one's actually a better one because I think what they need to do is shouldn't benefit both people when you play them. Is maybe a way to solve that. Like this card.
What do you mean?
This card doesn't help the other hero. Like if you're playing Ant-Man and I'm playing Wasp, I play this card, you get nothing.
That's true.
But if I'm playing Ant-Man and I have Wasp out, I still get the full benefit of the card.
That's also true.
So that way it's still a really good card, but it doesn't make me like have to jump through the hoops of game design to try and figure out a way to make this work for all the scenarios that you can have an extra hero, an extra character.
I think these are really generic. They're hard because you, like you said, you have to account for different scenarios, right? Like multiplayer, two heroes, solo, someone controlling one of each, or multiplayer, someone controlling that ally, right? Because for example, today's card, Ant-Man and Wasp are both allies in different aspects. You could easily have that where I'm playing Ant-Man and you have Wasp in play. There might be multiple Wasps in play because they're different. They have different like alter ego names.
Yeah.
Right. There's a Nadia and I think there's also a Janet ally.
Yep. It just has to be a Wasp.
So you have to have all these things go right, and then it's difficult to account for all that. So I'm not sure how you create a card that feels really strong and feels really powerful for you to play, but also takes into account all that stuff.
Yeah, I think you have to, like I said, you have to fundamentally change how they're designed. I don't know how you quite do that, but you have to.
Because, for example, I could play a Star-Lord deck, right? And I could have Groot and Rocket, the gray allies, in my deck.
Yeah.
And this card does nothing.
Yes.
Or not this card, but the Rocket and Groot card does nothing.
Yeah. But then I think that's not something you can design for. That's just you're a weirdo who built a deck weird. Like, why put those two allies in there if their card doesn't do anything?
Well, you wouldn't put that card in there then. You might still have the allies.
Yeah.
But that's just, there's all these cases of, that could exist, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of edge cases here.
And that's where I think the idea of making them more team-based, you know, if you control two Avengers or if you control an Avenger and an X-Man or something, then you do something.
Yeah, I like that. I think that or making it more specific, like this card. Making it like this card or making it very broad is the only way to do it. They're right now, all the team of cards are both too broad and too niche at the same time. They need to go further in one direction. They need to go more specific or more broad.
Okay, so then let's transition to the card that we're talking about today. Keiko, why don't you read the card for us?
So the card we're talking about today, which we alluded to, is called Swarm Tactics. It is a one cost basic event. It is traded tactic. And it is a team-up card for Ant-Man and Wasp, max one per deck. It is a hero action, change to your other hero form, ready your hero. And it itself is a genius resource.
As always, we'll start with the art. It comes from Ant-Man and the Wasp, Volume 1, Number 1. It's a variant cover from 2018. And it came in both the Ant-Man and the Wasp hero packs. So there are two copies of it. And as always, we have a deck list created by our own Dexpert, Lazy Titan, in the show notes below that uses this card. So if you're not sure how to use it, go down there for some expert advice and you'll find how you could play it.
I will do just that.
You better.
So I know we usually start with art, but since I want to kind of build on the discussion we just had, which is team-up cards. So this one is very specific only about hero, right? It doesn't care if you have you have to have them both in play. It might be the ally, but doesn't do anything for your ally. Doesn't ready them, doesn't do anything. It just readies your hero. So in that sense, it's a one-cost form change and ready. Is it worth it?
And for clarification, for those who don't know, Ant-Man and the Wasp have two different hero forms.
Yes.
Yes. Which is part of what I was going to say. This is great for Ant-Man because changing forms in Ant-Man is really important to his character and it really helps him. I don't see how this really helps Wasp other than already.
I mean, it is a form change and it readies you.
But you don't need a form change in Wasp. Like, you don't need to be changing forms multiple times. You don't get a benefit. Ant-Man cares. Wasp does not.
I don't disagree. I mean, there are times you might want to change form. And you, even though, as Keiko said, they have two hero forms. So if you're new to the game, most cards have an alter ego and hero. These two have an alter ego and then two heroes forms based on their giant or tiny size. And Ant-Man's whole gimmick is about flipping. And every time he flips, he gets a benefit. So you want to find as many opportunities to flip. But even though you have two hero forms, you still only get one free flip per turn. That's per the rule book.
Yes.
So Wasp, I think I find more often when I play her and when I see other people play her, you just pick a form and you kind of tend to camp out in that form and take advantage of the abilities she has in that form. A lot of Scott Lang's abilities have to do with when you flip to this form, either deal damage or heal yourself or draw a card or whatever.
And he has a lot of cards that benefit you for being in one form or the other. So it incentivizes you to switch so you can use all those in a turn. It's like he has Army of Ants, which can be used if you're in tiny form. And he has his Giant Stomp, which is in big form. So if you start in big form, you can Giant Stomp, then flip to tiny, do the thing. And you want to be flipping a lot with him.
Yeah.
It's very fun. They just don't have the same design. And so this loses out. It feels like an Ant-Man card more than it feels like a team-up card.
It definitely feels like an Ant-Man card. I think this benefits him a lot more. And, you know, I would have been okay with a different team-up card that benefits Wasp rather than just having this one.
So maybe each pair of characters has two team-up cards depending on who's kind of the primary.
I think for this group specifically, but maybe, yeah.
Yeah, maybe team-up cards are really individual, you know? I mean, it just so happens that this pair is both hero and signature ally for each other. But that's not always the case.
Often is, though, actually.
Often, but not always. Gamora and Nebula is as well, so it's a little easier to pull this off.
So is Angel and Psylocke, but not Miles and Gwen.
Rocket and Groot is not. So
Rocket and Groot's not.
Then you have to really build around it even more. Let's kind of transition and talk about the art before we go too much into the other subjects we usually talk about. What do you guys think about the art on Swarm Tactics?
I, for one, think that the art for the team of cards, again, going into the punch of it, would have benefited to be custom art.
I agree.
To have like an actual dynamic pairing and dynamic posing and, you know, they're jumping toward the camera or they're, you know, posed badass. I don't know. It's not a bad, this art in particular, it's Wasp and Ant-Man. I guess they're in the same foreground somewhat. Wasp is flying. Ant-Man's kind of cut off though. I don't really like that. And you can't really see what they're doing. I think Ant-Man's flying on a flying ant. It's hard to see, but the two of them are mostly in frame and they're just kind of posed, I guess, poised for battle.
And you can see ants in the background. So they're in tiny form, obviously.
Yeah, they're clearly doing some kind of ant-based shenanigans.
Which does go into the title, Swarm Tactics, I guess. It does look like they're tactically swarming, but I think all team-up cards in general would benefit from custom art relating to the two characters.
Yeah.
I think this art is good. I agree. It's a little tight. It's kind of hard to see. I mean, part of that is just the nature of you only have half a card, and if you zoom out too much to see more of the frame, everything's really tiny.
True.
Yeah.
So I think both characters are clearly visible here. It's fine. It doesn't blow me away, but I think it's decent.
I agree.
I think it's one of the better team-up cards. Arts as far as they go, but it's not perfect. There's a lot happening, but not really much is clear.
Yeah, there's simultaneously like a lot happening, and also I can't really see much of anything happening. Just kind of this weird dynamic. Like it looks like Wasp is maybe kicking or flying, and Ant-Man is kind of posed on an ant looking kind of dope, but I don't really know what they're doing. But it's also very busy. I don't know. It's hard to explain. What do you guys think about the theme of this card? So like Swarm Tactics and the Ant Heroes. What do we think about this?
Again, I think this card is a great Ant-Man card. It's very thematic with Ant-Man because Ant-Man likes to use his basic powers in giant form and he likes to switch. So this is a very good card if you want to switch out of giant form, then switch back, and then maybe switch back again with one of his other cards. And you get the benefit of his things, and you're drawing cards, and you're healing with his helmet. But I don't see why Wasp is even on this card, to be honest. She just kind of, I mean, she's like most of the picture. She's like important in the frame, and she just isn't really, like changing to your hero form for Wasp doesn't do anything. It it's not. It's like changing for most other heroes.
I mean, based on what you said earlier, the more I think about it, I agree that this is mostly an Ant-Man card. And it almost, I don't think I've ever included it in a Wasp deck.
Because why would you?
Well, the ready is important. Like, anytime you can get a ready, it's good, especially because she can split her basic powers. So she wants to be using her basic powers more often when in giant form.
Yeah, she does want to.
But, so I mean, a ready for one cost is good. Like, that's a solid thing. But you also have to line up a bunch of other stuff. And it is a mental resource, as Keiko said. So she can recycle it with her alter ego ability, which I wish Ant-Man could do that. But I almost just wish this was a signature card for Ant-Man, because it would be awesome.
I mean, it'd be too good then. This is a crazy card to just give someone. Limitless stamina plus a flip. But you have to remember, with Ant-Man, his helmet. That means this card is one cost for either change hero form, ready your hero, deal 2 damage, draw, or no, deal a damage, heal 2, or change hero form, ready your hero, thwart for 1, draw a card.
But you have to have Wasp in play.
Yeah, but no, if this is just a signature card. Oh, you mean signature, but still a team up?
You'd still have to have Wasp in play. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you could just play Wasp and leave her out there.
And maybe you bump up the cost, I guess, to offset that.
Maybe like 2.
I almost feel like it should have a something that happens depending on the form you're in to then really boost its ability for Wasp.
Yeah, I like, see that.
You know, change your other hero form. And then, you know, if you're in giant form, this happens. If you're in tiny form, this happens. That would then give Wasp a reason, like, oh, you know, if you change to, if you're now in giant form, ready yourself. If you're now in tiny form, draw 2 cards or whatever, like some ability. I don't know. I feel like that could be an interesting way to give her a reason to play this, because I agree. Otherwise, I just don't see why I'm playing this.
And it would honestly give, thematically speaking, give it more purpose to being called Swarm Tactics, because when it's called Swarm Tactics and the general ability is change your other hero form, it's kind of, to me, there's kind of a disconnect there. But if there were specific abilities depending on which form you're in, it would feel more tactical, right? It would feel more like a swarm depending on the form that you're in.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it could definitely be improved.
One thing I think maybe I would change, because we talked about maybe making them tailored specifically to the pair up or the hero, however, maybe. From what I've seen, there's not a whole lot that plays into either of the two having like an army of ants, right? Except for literally Scott's army of ants card. But there aren't like ant allies. Maybe if they had their own separate deck. Maybe if Ant-Man and Wasp had their own different types of ants, right? Because at least speaking in the MCU, they had like bioelectric ants and flying ants.
Or even just like other people who are tiny. Like there could be, like tiny could be a keyword on some allies. Like the Ant-Man ally could be tiny, and then then there could be a Wasp ally who's giant, and there could be a tiny Wasp ally or two. And like, then you could have like a tiny giant kind of sub theme where like you can have characters that are in either one.
Yeah. And it kind of plays on that. Yeah. But going into like the ant thing, maybe Swarm Tactics activates that separate deck and you have access to ant allies for a time. You know, maybe they don't affect your ally limit, and maybe it's like you can pull from Wasp's ants as Ant-Man, or if you're Wasp, you can pull from Ant-Man's ants. I don't know. That's just an idea that kind of popped into my head.
I like it. It's a lot of build around.
I wish they had army of ants for Wasp as well, or to do something so that you could use that ability. I think the giant man leadership ally has the giant trait. Maybe Goliath does. I don't remember. So you could play with the giant stuff like you were talking about, Lazy Titan. And I think I don't think the other Wasp allies have the tiny trait or the giant trait. They're just traded. One of them's a champion, I think.
I feel like that'd be cool.
Yeah, but like I think because the Ant-Man signature ally, he gains the tiny and giant trait based on what Wasp is in. But there's no reason for him to have that.
Yeah.
So I feel like this card could say, you know, change your other form. If Ant-Man is in giant form, this happens. If, well, you know, whatever. Because he does gain the trait that she's in as her signature ally. But there's no reason for him to have that. Doesn't do anything. And I doubt we're going to have more ant heroes.
No, this is probably it. I mean, maybe Hank Pym. Maybe. But that's a stretch.
That's what I'm saying. We could have allies. So like they could do an Ant-Man ally. Hank Pym or Scott Lang, doesn't matter. And then one of them's, there are two of them. So one's giant, one's tiny. Same for Wasp. You could have four. So you have a tiny Janet and a big Janet and a tiny Nadia and a big Nadia and a tiny Scott and a big Scott and a tiny Hank and a big Hank.
Yeah, I mean, they already did a Hank, but he's not tiny or giant.
That's a whole group of characters. And you could just have a bunch of groups, like all the, you don't have to even make eight of them, but like four ant allies that are like different sizes. And then you can, maybe there's Nadia is the tiny one and Janet's the big one. And then Hank's tiny and Scott's big. I don't know. Something like that.
Yep. And then throw in Cassie, the stinger, in there too.
Yeah. Make her tiny. I don't know. Like give us something and then make that matter.
Yeah, something that plays with tiny, giant allies, but some kind of ally play, because their whole thing is army of ants.
Swarm tactics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so how do we feel about the power and the fun of this card?
It's funny, you kind of have to, from what it sounds like, you kind of have to grade it from the perspective of Ant-Man versus the perspective of Wasp.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. For Wasp, this is like a 6 out of 10. It's just a free ready. It's kind of cool. For Ant-Man, this is like a 9. It's like, this is such a good card for Ant-Man. It's so much value for so cheap. It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't include this in a Wasp deck. I mean, unless I'm playing with someone who's playing Ant-Man, then maybe we each have a copy in our deck.
Even then.
I mean, because if you're playing with another person who's playing the Ant-Man hero, then you know it's always going to hit. You can recycle it with her girl ability because it's a mental resource, and you can essentially ready yourself again and again. So maybe it's worth it, but it doesn't ready both heroes. It only readies the person who plays it.
Yeah.
It doesn't let everyone change. Like if it said, if you have another hero form, change hero forms or something. Then it could even interact with Angel and these other ones that might come out in the future. That could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
As it is, I think I agree. It's less good for Wasp. It's pretty good for Ant-Man. It still is not an auto include for me with Ant-Man just because of everything you have to do. And the Wasp ally is like fine. So I don't always have her out there.
Better than the Ant-Man ally. Wasp's Ant-Man is terrible.
She's better than the Ant-Man ally, but she's not amazing.
No, she's fine. She's like a 3-cost 2-2.
Yeah, and she doesn't. When she enters play, it depends on your form. She does something. So she's fine.
Yeah, she's fine.
But she's not one of those like that I'm always dropping out.
Yeah.
So how fun is it?
I mean, it sounds like it's more fun as Ant-Man versus Wasp. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think this goes back to what I was saying, and we were all kind of saying earlier in our discussion about team-up cards. Team-up cards are so hard to make work because of all the things you have to do that they should feel amazing. Like when you get it out and you're like, oh, I can play this card, it should feel like crazy good. It is good for Ant-Man. Like you get to change your form and ready yourself. That's good. But it doesn't feel, even then for me, it doesn't feel amazing. It's like I had to play Ant-Man, get Wasp, keep her in play, draw this card, then play it. Like there's so many things you have to do. It should really feel like when I see it in my hand and I'm drawing up, I should be like, oh man, I drew my team up card. And it doesn't feel like that for me.
Yeah.
Yep. The work that you put in for it.
It feels like it's good to play twice. Like if I play this once, I might be like, oh, that was pretty good. If I played it twice, I'd be like, oh yeah, no, that was value. Yeah, I would need to get it twice to really get the power out of it, which I think means it needs to be better.
I agree.
And that's the other thing too, with it being max one per deck. Like never mind the fact that the chances of drawing this card specifically are lower because of that. But yeah, because you can't play it twice because there's a max one per deck. You know, there's a limitation to even that.
And if you draw it in your opening hand, you don't have Wasp. Or even if you do, you can't pay for both of them. So you're going to have to ditch it or something.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's like it almost, I was going to say you could do it so it reduce, so like you can just play it no matter what, but it reduces the cost if the other one's in play, but then it just becomes too good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping that as we dig through these team up cards this month, we're going to really analyze the group a little bit more and get into what kind of makes this type of card good or bad. This individual card is hit or miss. I think for me, a final score is like a 5 out of 10. I'd say it's right in the middle, true neutral. It's good for Ant-Man. It's okay for Wasp. It's difficult to play, so I don't include it in a lot of decks that I play with these two. I don't play a ton of Ant-Man and Wasp, really, but when I do, this gets included maybe half the time.
I'd also throw in a 5 out of 10. It's a little harder for me to say. I haven't played either of the heroes. I know somewhat of them watching you guys play, but the disconnect between Swarm Tactics versus what it does, the art I wish was framed a little better. It's not terrible. I agree. It's fitting and it works, but it's one cost, which is cheap after you have everything set up, but it's always the pros and cons go back and forth, so I'm going to go with five 5 out of 10. True neutral.
I'm going to be a little bit more positive on this card just because I like Ant-Man. And I'm just going to look at this from Ant-Man perspective because I don't really like Wasp. This, if I'm playing Ant-Man, I'll play this card anytime I have the chance. And I think that means it's at least better than neutral. If I draw my hand as Ant-Man and I have the ability to play this card, I will always do it. So I'm gonna give it a 6. I think it's not great. And I think design-wise, it was one of the earlier team-up cards. I think, like we talked about, team-up cards as a design generally haven't really hit their groove yet. I think there could be some improvements, but I think it does the job.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the first team-up card. So do you include this in every Ant-Man deck, Lazy Titan? Is this a staple for you?
Probably not. I would probably, this is where it gets a little tricky, because I would probably say, do as I say, not as I do. I would recommend to put this in every Ant-Man deck, because you should be playing Wasp, because allies are good. I will almost never play a 3-cost ally that isn't insane, just because I don't like them. So I will almost never play Wasp. So I will never be able to play this if I'm not playing with a Wasp hero. So I wouldn't, because I know the way I would play the game. But if you are the person who's going to play Wasp every time she comes out, I would play it in that deck for sure.
Fair.
But personally, that's lame. So,
all right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the show. We hope you're as excited as we are about Love Month and our continued exploration through team up cards and through these couples. If you like the show, please feel free to spread the love by leaving a review so others will be more likely to find the show that you enjoyed so much. So I will say from me, Boom Guy, and my co-hosts, Lazy Titan and Keiko, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Later.
I love you.